With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Richard and Gretel, gonna make your lives better today.
If you will subscribe to our podcast.
You know, it's all about how to get the most out of your partner.
And we're partners.
So we know all about it.
It's good. Get it wherever you want to get it, when you go and get it from your podcast, please.
Richard and Greta from The Great Big Owl.
You know?
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
That's too high, darling. I did say that.
Hello, my dear primates. Hello. Hello, it's Anna Man. Hello, dear primates. How are we all? What a lovely bunch you are. I do love you all so much. Thank you so much for listening to this, my podcast. It's a lovely sunny day. Well, it's not. It's freezing. But there is a sun of a sort. Somewhere over the horizon, we can see him. Fuck, we can see him. We could almost taste him. I mean, we wouldn't want to taste the sun. It would burn our lips. But, you know, just the taste. Do we dare? Do we dare to risk even the idea of kissing the sun? Our entire face would melt away. But would it be worth it? Would it be worth it? No, it wouldn't. But still, I can see it over there in the horizon and the wind turbines, just round and round they go. They've been there for thousands of years, of course, and they'll be there for thousands of years after us, keeping the planet moving. I'm not sure how they work, actually, to be honest. There's a massive tower block there as well, which I keep petitioning to be sort of knocked down, which I know isn't... Fuck, I know people need somewhere to live. God knows I do. I'm still in Sue Clinch's wigwam, if you know what I mean by that. But no, they are rather unsightly, and they do block my view. And, you know, I hate to sound like a narcissist, but could someone just get rid of them? I'm happy to house the people myself. I'm happy. I'll have them come round and stay here, for God's sake. It's not my place. I don't care. I'd love the company, but we can't because of the pandemic, you see. That's the problem. But no, I hope you're all doing well, not too cold, and not too hot either. You know, because sometimes if you sit by the fire for too long, you can get too hot. And if you're wearing a lot of polyester, as I have to at the minute, you know, around Sue, I have to wear a lot of, well, it's kind of a suit I fashioned myself just to defend, because Sue Clinch, my best friend, she's being a little odd at the minute. She's still playing her game. You know, there's a creature in the kitchen and his name is Sue, which is lovely, but it's gone into sort of the big leagues. It's the kind of Premier League version. It's getting very violent and very aggressive. Anyway, darlings, anyway, what can I tell you? Well, yes, I just, for a start, I want to say thank you. There's no show this Friday. But there will be a show next Friday and also some more shows to be announced. So look out for those. But what there is on Tuesday, if you go to Leicester Comedy Festival or Next Up and look up Anna Mann, I'm doing my show The Death of Anna Mann, which was a lie, wasn't it? Because I'm still bloody here. Well, I didn't get to do it, darlings, because of Edinburgh. It was cancelled. And I've decided I can't be bothered to go up for a full Edinburgh ever again. So sorry, you had your chance, all of you, to see my swan song and you went and created a fucking virus. I'm not saying that's why the virus was created. I'm not Trump, you know. I'm not one of these mad conspiracy theorists, but I do think there's something in it. That's all I'm saying. And I have actually built up a little following around that. But anyway, that doesn't matter. So yes, But this isn't about me. Well, it is. I mean, it's about you. Bless you, you lovely primates. As I say, we're all primates, cheeky chimps, aren't we? We're cheeky chimps. We're gregarious gibbons, and frankly awful orangutans or oranutans, to use the correct pronunciation. And I will only use the correct pronunciation, oranutans. Now, some of you are probably getting a little bit irate right now, and I understand why. You're going, well, A, you're going, what the fuck is this, if you've never heard this podcast before? But if you do know the podcast, then you're probably sort of going, Anna, what the fuck is this? Well, hang on. What I want to say is, look, you may love the orangutans. I'm sure you're all sat there going, Anna, how dare you be rude about the orangutans? It's not okay. There is a line you can't cross. You can do your funny little skits and sketches and willy ticklers about this and that, you know. You can be as topical and brutal and brazen and visceral and real as you dare. But you don't take the piss out of the orangutans. Right? That's a line you will not cross, Anna. That's what you'll think. They're endangered. That's what you're screaming. They're endangered, Anna. I can picture you now. When I picture you, by the way, I never think of you listening to it on headphones or on a phone. I imagine an old wireless next to you and you're there screaming at it. But they're endangered, Anna. They're endangered. Well, listen, let me speak, will you? I tried. Right? I loved the orangutans for a long time. Okay? I really did. I used to feel... I remember seeing one as a kid when a rare occasion when mother took us to the zoo, although I did later find out that she was trying to keep us in there. You know, she was convinced I was half snake. Mother, she's not well. She's never been well. She was convinced that I had snake genes, that I was a reptilian creature. And this was only because I refused to do the washing up once. And then, you know, she tries to get me put in the zoo. But anyway, we were at the zoo and we saw this orangutan and it looked at me and I just saw such wisdom. The wisdom of, like, a human's wisdom. If you've ever stared at an orangutan's eyes, you can feel this beautiful, wonderful wisdom and power and sense of dignity that you get from them. And I was convinced that orangutan spoke to me. It spoke to me because, you know, it said, it's all right, Anna. Don't worry, she can't put you in the zoo, you know. And I swear that I've always maintained that. And I've spoke to scientists. I spoke to a scientist. I mean, it was child psychology, but it's not related. But anyway, but I spoke to him and I said, I believe orangutans can speak. And he said, that's not really, I mean, fine, but that's, I mean, I can't really comment on that. But anyway. The point is that... I loved the orangutans, and I tried to save them. I really did. I tried to save them for an entire quarter and an entire week once in the 90s. I went over to Africa to save them, the orangutans, because I read somewhere on a bus or something. There was a post of save the orangutans, rainforests, things are being destroyed, you know, their habitats are gone, they're dying, they're endangered. So I thought, fuck it, I got off the bus, right? Which was still moving, so I did actually, well, I did, I almost lost a toe, but I just jumped off the bus and I went off, right, we're going to save the orangutans. Right, now at the time I was married to a chap, if I say Colonel Kish, anyone who might remember him, he was, Colonel Kish, the thing about Colonel Kish is he looked a lot like Charles Dance, I thought, originally. In fact... Let's be honest, right, cards on the table times. I thought it was Charles Dance, right? That's why I got married to him. And then when I found out it wasn't, fuck, I was annoyed. So basically, I used to really like Charles Dance. I still do. But it was in a nightclub that we met. It was very dark and very noisy. And I was convinced he said to me, hello, I'm Charles Dance. And I went, oh, yes, of course you are. Looking back, he probably said something like, do you want to dance? But Charles we dance? It sort of works, doesn't it? Charles we dance? Charles dance? Charles dance? Or shall we dance? Charles dance? Shall we dance? Charles dance? It's very easily done. And of course, in the light, or lack of light, he could have been Charles Dance. I mean, afterwards I discovered he looked absolutely nothing like him. But in the darkness, I mean, I guess it was so dark, anyone could have been Charles Dance. So we got married that night. I mean, I was very drunk, and it was back in the day when you used to be able to get married in a nightclub. I don't know if anyone remembers. It was a sort of thing that they did for a bit, and then they realised, don't do that. But anyway, so the next morning I woke up, you know, and I thought, oh fuck, it's not Charles Dance. Oh shit, it isn't Charles Dance. And he looked at me and he said, morning, darling, or something like that. You know, you were incredible, probably, something like that. And I said, what? Oh, fuck. You're not Charles Dance. And he said, well, no, I'm Colonel Quiche. We married last night. And I said, oh, shit. But anyway, on the plus side, he was absolutely loaded. And quite quickly, he became very desperate to get rid of me, mainly because I kept trying to get him to be Charles Dance. And he was actually very successful at it. For a while, Charles Dance got very upset about it because he appeared as Charles Dance in a few things. It's actually him in the first series of Game of Thrones, if you look closely. Obviously, I had to make him get a lot of work done. So Charles Dance actually ended up having to get him to tell him to stop, you know. If you realise, that's why his performance really dips. Because Colonel Quiche was very good. Better than Charles Dance, I argue. But anyway, so, what am I talking about? Yeah, so he was desperate to get rid of me, so he funded my one-woman mission to save the orangutans, and I travelled the length and breadth of Africa for days, literally days, and I discovered three shocking things. One, it's massive, much bigger than you think. Two, it's a continent, not a country, which got me in a lot of trouble. And three, most important.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
To me, orangutans don't live there, right? Fuck! So where do they live? I asked a man. Borneo, he says. He was very bright. I was put in the right direction by a lovely young Maasai warrior, who I would, of course, later go on to marry, but that's another story. Eventually, I get to Borneo, by which point I'm an absolute mess. Tell me where the orangutans are, I scream. I'm just reading from my diary. That was my page turning. I want to get my hands on one, you know, I say to people running around, just shouting it, you know. For a long time, they didn't know what I was talking about. So I said, and they said, oh, you mean orangutan? Yes, orangutans. It's how it's meant to be, or how I pronounce it anyway. But eventually, someone explained that they live in the forests, you'll see, in the rainforest. So off I went to the forest, and I spent 3 days searching and searching for this forest. I'm on my hands and knees, screaming in the middle of all these trees, and it's very hot and wet, and I'm going, where are you, orangutans? Show yourselves! I just want to save you! Little did I know, as I'm sat there, a massive fucking tarantula crawls up my Givenchy, bites me on my ass, right? And this set me even madder. I was in pain. I was delirious. I was running through this forest. I was fighting trees, just punching trees, convinced they were the critic, Brian Logan. I then find the tarantula. Eventually, I pull him out. He's burrowed his way right up there. I hold him up and I go, right, you hairy little shit. And I hold him up to my face. I'm going to give him a real pierce of my mind. But then what I discover, the problem with tarantulas actually is not the bite. The bite is only about as bad as a bee sting, which still fucking hurts, to be fair. The problem is when they're threatened, there, and he felt very fucking threatened. Imagine me coming at you, just going, "Ah, you little shit!" And they shoot. It could have been all girl, I don't know. They shoot their hairs from their bum into your eyes, which is incredible. You know, it really is. Lovely Philip Squires, of course, used to do that himself as a cabaret act. He used to be able to fire his own bum hairs at the crowd, which is fucking disgusting. Anyway, my eyes are burning. I've got this in my eyes. I'm rubbing my eyes. It's making it worse. I'm going, "You little shit. I'm starving." I hadn't eaten for hours at this point. I still can't find an orangutan. I'm running round screaming, "Where the fuck are you?" Eventually, I stumble across this big clearing where bulldozers have, you know, cleared a big space. It's a big lovely opening, and I think, right, you fucking arrogant bastards, I'll find you. If it kills me, I get on the bulldozer. My eyes are still streaming and bright and puffed right up. I start to drive straight into the trees, knocking them down, you know, screaming, "Come on out, I'm trying to save you, shit!" Eventually, I crash the bulldozer into a rock. It just explodes, which burns down another large section of the forest. And I'm left on my knees, crying. You know, maybe Charles Dance was right, / Colonel Quiche. Maybe I shouldn't have come out here and find the orangutans. As I crumble down to the ground, yes, fucking crumble to the ground, bawling my eyes out, which is a cabaret trick I can do, where I can sort of bawl them out and then put them back in again. Again, it's revolting. Very useful for horror films. I did it recently in Randy Man 2. Say his name 5 times and a quite random man jumps out the mirror. It wasn't great. Anyway, I'm there in the midst of the desolation, utterly bereft. Then I feel this presence. There's something there with me. I'm sat on my knees. I can barely see. I can barely breathe. I'm having a horrible allergic reaction to something. Probably to the tarantula, to be fair, but it could have been anything by this point. It could have been a cheese sandwich that I found and ate. And I'm there, I'm broken, broken. Feel for me, darlings, listen and feel for me. Anna there in the rainforest. And then I feel this presence behind me. A presence, something ancient and beautiful and wise. And through my blurry, bloated eyes, I'd put them back in by this point, I could see a shape standing over me. I don't mean like a dodecahedron, you know, I mean it was the shape of a thing, you know. And the shape was an orangutan, or orangutan, if you must, stood over me, wise, tall, massive, and actually quite hot. Finally, he had come down from the tree to see me. He had heard my call. He looks at me, and I say, "I know you can speak. I know you can. Speak to me, orangutan. Speak to me." And he turns to me and he says, "Will you fuck off?" Which I found very ungrateful. So yes, frankly, orangutans are awful. They really are. They don't give them another penny. If you have to give it anywhere, give it to those donkey sanctuaries. Although those donkeys must be millionaires by now. They've only got 6 of them. Anyway, lovely to chat to you. Just a quick little story for you, because I've got to pop out and get Sue some new matches. But thanks for listening once again. Please do subscribe, review, rate, all that stuff. It's lovely. It's very kind. Keep in touch with me on animanactress@twitter.com, or you can chat to Colin Holt at twitter.com. And also book a party with us at colinholtcomedy@gmail.com. You can book a private one for yourselves or a corporate one for your business. Corporate ones are better because I charge a bit more. But no, they're a lot of fun. And don't forget to come and watch the nights. We're going to be doing some more very soon. If you want to support the podcast, patreon.com/animan, ko-fi.com/animan, and never the twain shall meet. Love you, kids. Mwah. You're wonderful. You're visceral. Keep going. We're almost there. We're almost there at the end of this.
GreatBigOwl.com.
Hello, I'm Justin.
And I'm Lucy.
And together we are the hosts of Plenty Questions.
It's a very straightforward general knowledge quiz.
We ask you 20 questions, one after the other, 5 second gap in between, and you shout the answers out.
And then you tweet us to let us know how you've got on.
See if you can get 20 out of 20. No one has so far, but that's because we haven't started doing it yet.
But we will. And there's also going to be some fiendish brain teasers, so join us for Plenty Questions.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.